Well, good morning. It's nice to see you all coming back, and hopefully you had a wonderful time at Christmas. And like I said, on the Christmas Eve service, I know it isn't always a great experience for people. I know there's sometimes a lot of tragedy or hardships or, you know, loss of people that make Christmas a hard time, not necessarily a great time. And so I'm hoping that if that was the case, you're recovering. But then we talk about New Year, and Jack mentioned, what do you want, and how did you do in 2025? And here we are coming up on another year. And, we'll probably talk about this next Sunday, too, a little bit, but it is a time when we kind of, hopefully, reassess our lives, and we come up with things we'd like to accomplish in the next year. How many of you do that? How many of you have things that you, I'm going to go back and I'm going to evaluate what happened this year, this year in 2026, this is what I want to change about my life, or this is something I want to accomplish, or here are some things I'd like to do. How many of you do that? Yeah. I mean, what do we call those? New Year's resolutions, right? Goals, yes. Okay. If I didn't give you a Christmas gift, which probably you didn't get one from me, I'm going to give you one now. Okay. Where do I start? I'm going to try to say this without sounding like I'm patting myself on the back. I had this time off, and it gave me an opportunity to rethink a number of things about the meaning of life. Why am I here? What am I supposed to accomplish here? What's life all about, really? We go, from kids and we go to school and we're trying to do well in school and, we're trying to think about a future career and then maybe we're good at something. Maybe it's sports, maybe it's art, maybe whatever it is, and I want to accomplish something. And I want to find meaning and purpose in my life somehow, somewhere by finding those things that I need in this plan that I have for my life. Okay. But I gotta think about here I am, I'm 67. You think I would know something by now? If you're not 67 yet, which looks like a lot of you are, maybe you haven't gotten to that point where, what is life all about? How have I done so far? And so I had to rethink. And what is it, Tim? What is it? What the meaning of life, Christianity? What is Christianity in the Bible trying to teach me? And so part of the time, I'm looking at online, and I'm watching some YouTube videos about people out there who are trying to evangelize and spread Christianity. And how is Christianity being viewed by the people of our culture? Okay, and a lot of it is not good. We're seen as so. I'm looking at that, and I'm trying to think. Okay, what is it? And so I came up with some conclusions, right? And it led me to this passage. Okay, so this was a three-parter, right? This is a three-part sermon. If you on the sermon title there, I was talking to you. This is part three, and so. We talked about it already in part one, which was the greatest command. And then so we talked about intimacy in relationship with God. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Right. So the first part was we talked about intimacy and relationship, and I hopefully in that message two weeks ago, whatever it was, you understood that it is the greatest priority a human being can ever have, ever. Ever in your life. You know, I want to accomplish this, I want to have kids, I want to get a job, I want to get a house, I want to have a career, maybe you wanted to be famous. I wanted to be famous for a while, a long time ago, I wanted to be famous. But whatever it was you were trying to accomplish, unless you had this as the number one priority in your life, and I told you, people always do what they want, okay? And it's based on your priorities. And it is, truly. But if you don't have that as the priority, then you're not going to accomplish it either. Okay, now, but I also told you 2 weeks ago about this, that this is a gift from God. Okay, this is one of the things we have to talk about. I'm probably getting myself out of order. Because it does say it's a command. And there's a lot of things like that in Scripture, aren't there? You can read right through the Old Testament, Colossians chapter 3. Philippians has it. Ephesians, the do's and the don't do's. A practical Christianity. One of the things that I'm seeing, you know, online as I'm watching videos about Christianity and people that are, I was watching a lot of things about people who are talking mostly to college kids, right? And you know, we've seen those. And they're on campuses and they're trying to talk to people about it. And one of the things is that you hear a lot is, Christianity has this set of rules and, you know, it's a worldview, but it also has all these things I'm supposed to do. And I'm trying my hardest to try to be, you know, to do the things I'm supposed to do and not do the things I'm not supposed to do. And frankly, it's too difficult. And so, you know, this is what they say, and this was, I think, can't remember his name. But he would say, you know, you do it and you fail. And you try and you fail and you try and you fail. So finally you just put on your Sunday school face and, you know, fake it. Because Christianity is just too hard to live out in real life. There are too many rules. There are too many things I can do and I try to do it and I can't do it. And so I'm just done with it. And so we look at these things and we see these as commands. Okay, so we see this. It says a great commandment. So teacher, this is a Pharisee asking Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest command. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is telling him something, and this is actually comes up a number of times in Scripture, and he's actually looking back into the Old Testament when this comes up. These are the two most critical things for human beings. But here's sometimes what we do as Christians. We say, we think that God is saying this. I did this for you. Now you do this for me. These, right here. Tried it? It's not that at all. God is really saying this. I did this for you, meaning I died and paid for your sins and opened the door for a relationship back with me. Now, I did this for you so you could do this for you. All the commandments. Instead of trying to look at it as a set of rules that God died for me, now he's expecting me to do all of these things and do them well and do them right. I gotta love him with everything I've got. I gotta go out and love everybody else. How am I supposed to take care of me? But that's not what it is. This is God saying, I died for you. I paid for your sins. I allowed relationship to occur between you and I. And now so that you can experience the greatest depth of that here in this life, I'm going to make available these two things. I am going to say, you can love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you can love your neighbors. Agape, love other people. These are not the, okay, I did this now. You get your little thing out there and do what I say. No, this is God saying as a gift so that you can experience a high level of intimacy and relationship with me, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to actually agape love others. And Jack said it before, you know, for his glory, but for our good. Okay. Are you thinking about life like that? Okay. My gift to you was I spent this time off trying to reassess what was the most important thing or things in life. And since I'm a pastor, since I'm a Christian, since I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. I've read the Bible so many times. I've spent so much time studying Scripture. And yet I'm still struggling and seeing what is it that is so important for me to be doing and to be telling others. And sometimes we venture into then the lifestyle of Christianity. We think that's what's important. You know, you really got to clean up your life and quit sinning and doing this and doing that and quit doing that, and you should be doing this, and you're not very good at loving people, blah, 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 blah. Instead of focusing on, these are the two things that God made available to me, and he paid. That was the second part of the sermon series, was helping you to understand the price that God paid to make these two things available to you. Okay? That's what we talked about. We have to understand why, you know, if I walk up to you with a 14-carat diamond ring and say, here it is, and you think it came out of a Cracker Jack box, beep. But if it wasn't, if you understood that it was real, maybe you would even fight and die for it just to get it, right? Okay, so if we don't understand the value of what it is that God is given us and given us an opportunity to experience, are you actually going to make it the number one priority if you don't understand the value of it? So that was what the second week was about, understanding the value of relationship with God. And now we're going to talk about relationship or agape love relationship with other humans. Okay. So, you know what one of my life verses is? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm not going to do one, but I'm going to do two. No longer conform to the pattern of this world, which is what? Does it have anything to do with loving God or loving other people? Probably not. Probably not. Okay, no longer conform to the pattern that you're used to seeing in the rest of the world. No longer conform to the pattern of the things that seem to be inherently part of your brokenness, which is selfishness and sinfulness. That we're all born with that. All of us, we're all born with it. Okay, so the scripture is telling me no longer conform to that. But what is the pathway out of that? What is it? The rest of the verse. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, I am trying to give you a gift today. My Christmas gift to you is think about these two things every single day. Because if you don't change the way you think, you will not do the things you need to do. It's a priority. You're doing what you want. Everything you do today You're doing because you want to do, because you've made something a priority over something else. All of the other alternatives, again, that's why you're here today. You said, look, I could go to church today or I could stay home and watch the Seahawks. And they're on right now. But no, this is a priority. And so every one of us is doing what we want to do. And so if we don't make this a priority, this is what God is telling me in this time off. Tim, you need to make relationship with me and an improving intimacy the number one priority, and I'm putting it down so that it's very obvious. What's the greatest thing I could do? Improve my relationship with God by loving him with everything I have. You know, so we already kind of talked about that. Now we got to look at the second part of it. Matthew 22:39. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then going on to say, and on these two things, everything else in Scripture is based. These two things. So is God clearly saying, I want you to prioritize these two things? Yes or no? Are you? Yes or no? Well, I understand. I understood the first one. Okay. I'm agape. I got agape love God. And that pretty much means I need to sacrifice everything that I have and put it in his control. Okay, you know, my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, all of those things, right? Okay, now, does it say money? No, it's not talking about money right here, but nonetheless, I understood that one. Right, okay, I need, and most of that's an internal thing, right? I mean, some of it is okay, I'm gonna make my priority to serve God, and I'm gonna come to church, and I'm gonna take a position, and I'm gonna serve, you know, with my time and my money and my resources and all that. Okay, I understand that there's an aspect of it that's like that, but God is saying, no, I want all of you. Now, this is for my glory, God says, but it is actually for your good, because I know what you need. I originally designed you to totally need me. Well, and then I allowed sin to happen, and you broke the relationship, and what you don't understand is how badly you need me for everything that's important in your life. So I understood all that. I get that. Okay, now I need God, I need you, I need to refocus and make you the number one priority in my life, not just because you're commanding me to do it, but because you're telling me this is the pathway for you to experience all the things that I created you to experience when I made you up in the first place. This is a gift from God. This is a gift. So I'm sharing that gift with you by changing your mind, hopefully, and rearranging your priorities to say, 2026, man, I am going to make God the number one priority in my life. Not just out of obligation, not just because, oh, he did so much for me. Now, he's telling me I better do it. No, because God says, I'm allowing you to experience this. It's for your good. See, here's what I know. Sometimes I think I do cause problems with people. God doesn't need you. Doesn't. He doesn't, you know, he's not up there just, oh gosh, I wish Tim would love me more. I just don't feel very secure about myself. And if he would only just love me a little more, no. God's completely okay by himself. Okay. We're not. So you got to realize this is for our good, folks. God gives us all these rules. He's the tough love dad. There's no question about it. Look, why am I have to make all these commandments and put all these rules down? Because you guys are so broken and you're so insecure about yourself, you won't do it unless I make you. But it's for your own good. How many of you, you know, gave your kids, I think probably talked about this before, you know, out, you know, guidelines and rules and stuff, and did you do it just to make them mad? Or just to, I'm an authority, and you're going to just mind me no matter what. No, right? I mean, hopefully you're a parent, and you said, oh, I'm going to give you all these rules, and you're going to have consequences, and I'm going to have guidelines here, and I'm going to give you responsibility, and I'm going to have expectations and stuff, because I love you. And I want you to be a strong, successful, functioning adult, right? Okay, this is God. He's saying, look, you can call it a commandment if you want, but this is all for you. I don't need you to obey me for me to have the existence I want. That's God already has everything he needs. Okay. This is totally for us. Okay. Are you taking advantage by making it the number one priority in everything you think about and do? Okay? Tim sitting in his bed, laying down in his bed, and in the morning as I'm thinking, in this time that I had away, I'm thinking about this a lot. And the answer was just no. Am I really making God and my relationship with God and the quality or the intimacy of that relationship? Am I making that priority number one? Am I really? Because if I was, what about the things that I choose to do with my time and my life and my relationships with other people? How would they look different? And they would. They would look different. Because I do, just like you, everything I do is what I want. Everything. And so my gift to you is to help you understand that God needs to transform you by the renewing of your mind and placing priorities where he wants them to be for your good and his glory. Hope you do something with that. Hope 2026. And maybe a year from now, if you're still here and I'm still here, I'll ask you, how'd it go? Did you see a growth in your relationship with God? Did I get better at loving the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind? And then one of the other verses, all my strength, or not? Guess what? It's going to be up to you. I can tell you whatever I can tell you. I can say, hey, you know what? I tried this myself, and I just can't come to the point of even telling you how important it is. Just like a lot of things in Christianity, you don't learn by other people's experiences too much. That's us as human beings anyway. You know, I watched my kids make the same stupid mistakes some of the other kids made, and didn't you learn anything? No, but unfortunately, you know, I can't say, here's some things that God really shared with me in the recent past here, and I want to share them with you. You have to decide. You know, God, am I going to really let you transform me by the renewing of my mind? I'm going to come to church, I'm going to listen to a sermon, and maybe I'll be, I don't know, maybe it'll generate some sort of thing in me. You know, we sit in this office practically every Sunday and pray beforehand. And one of my prayers very, very regularly is, I can't change anybody's heart and mind, God, but you can. Would you please use this opportunity to do that? And then my responsibility is to stick to the Word of God instead of just trying to tell you stuff I think. But I'm hoping God will use this time to reprioritize your thinking, to recognize that these two things are the most important things in your life as a Christian, in your life as a Christian. There is nothing more important than these two things. Okay, so I think that makes sense. So we're going to look at the second one. I'm going to try to not run you too long. So I look at this, and I'm contemplating this, and I'm reading this passage a lot, you know, in my time, and saying, okay, God, I understand the first one. I understand that I'm not doing it to the level that I certainly could be, and I know that part of that problem is that I have just not made it. I'm making it a priority at some point. You know, I want to learn more about you. I want to spend time in your word. I need to pray more. I love it when I come and can spend time with my church family and they help me and everything. But I understand, Lord, I have to ratchet this one up the priority list. Because my mind is fixated on a lot of other things. Okay. But the second one. What are you really trying to tell me here, God? So I spent some time on this. And I'll share what I came up with. Okay. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, what does it mean? What does it look like in real life, according to Scripture? And then, why is it so hard, and how can I improve at doing it? Okay. You can just, well, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, but just think about it in your head. Do I accept what Tim is saying from Scripture, that these are the two most important things that I can do in my life? There's so many other things that, you know, circumstances and, you know, family needs and job needs and all the, you know, and I got to pay the mortgage and all this stuff comes up and, you know, it really starts to generate some other, you know, priorities in my, you know, I got to take care of this problem. I got to take care of this problem. You know, when something comes out of the blue, it ratchets itself up to the top of the to-do list. I used to live my life. I was pretty good. I ran two businesses and I was a workaholic. It was gone. My wife spent, you know, a lot of time raising children, not on her own because I was home most every night, but I could live on a to-do list. And I carried it with me almost everywhere. And every day I would sit down and prioritize. And then people would come up to me and say, what about this? And I'd say, you know, hey, look, that's on my list. But it's not up here yet, so just leave me alone. Well, but then, and they wouldn't understand, why are you not dealing with this? Because you don't understand. I have other things to deal with, and I have learned how to put them all down and then prioritize them. And then when I get up every day, I start on number one, and then I go to number two. And then when number 13, you know, the shop catches fire, okay, that tool that I had to fix, it moves up the list. It's at number one now. Okay. So I understand that in real life that happens, that things in your life happen and you could say, well, oh, you know, this just happened and somebody ran into my wife in the car and, you know, I gotta forget about everything else and I got to run down and get the car towed and make sure she's okay. You know, so I understand that. But then at number one, you have to start over. Okay, I dealt with that problem. But number one is my relationship with God. Because life and the circumstances of life will push that one down until you make an effort every day to say, oh, yeah, I mean, I had to deal with that thing, and it kind of distracted me for a while, but I need to recognize and put God back in number one. So if that was the case, and your wife gets in a car accident and you got to go down there, what's the first thing you do? Take it to God. Right, you know, I try to fix the problem, but I got to keep God number one. Okay, so now this second one. why, God? You know, I'm already doing, it's taking a lot of my effort to keep you first in my life. And now you're saying this other one, and it's pretty, you know, you got a lot of focus on this. Loving other people. This is agape, loving other people. Okay, so I'm going to say, well, let's first, what does this mean? What does this mean? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What do you think? Does that mean sitting at home thinking about, oh, man, I really love that guy? Do I love him as much as I love me? Maybe not, but I'll try. My buddy Wayne, where is he? There he is. I love Wayne. I mean, I just love Wayne. We connect, and we have a lot of things that, you know, we're the same, and we were in construction and all that, and I just love spending time with him. Okay. Is that what it's talking about? No. It's not. Is that part of it? Yeah. Okay. What is it really talking about? Well, you can go to Philippians chapter 2, right? What is this talking about? And so we're going to look at it and say, what does it mean? And then how do we do it in real life? What does it look like in real life? And then how do I learn to do it better, and why is it so hard? Okay. But first I have to understand what it's saying. Agape love is this. It's a pure, willful, sacrificial love that intentionally desires someone else's getting their highest good. Philippians chapter 2, right? Complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to their own interests, but also the interests of others. What this really means is, I'm going to take myself and my own needs and my own wants and desires, and I'm going to lower the priority level of those things and put your needs above it. That's what it means. God's saying, oh, I'm making this the second and most important command. For my glory, but it's for your good. So God, what you're really, and maybe Tim, are you? What you're really trying to tell me is, if I was to sacrifice everything and quit thinking so much about what I need and what I want and what I would like and my pleasures, and actually put other human beings in the priority above what I want, you're telling me that on some way that's gonna create joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment in my life? Are you kidding me? No. That's why I made it the second greatest commandment, God says. I'm asking you to do this because when you do it, you're gonna find out what a wonderful thing it is for you. Is it? Is it? Yeah, you know, I talked about this. And again, I'm not trying. I got to tell you before I say this. Personally, I suck at this. But God says, no, Tim, I got a plan for you. And in order for you to fulfill this plan, I need you to love other people. You suck at it, but I'm going to make you, and I'm going to give you a love for other people. So I got to say, I start out my day, God, give me love for other people, and he does. And then when I see people and I see their needs, I want to help them. And it isn't out of some sort of, oh, I just want to look cool, like I'm a really good guy. And I've had these conversations, and again, I don't want it to sound like I'm better than anybody else. I can literally go somewhere, look at somebody in the face that I've never met, never seen, and love them. I think I told this story. I haven't told my wife yet, but I went to, on Christmas Eve, I went down to, what is that store? I couldn't remember the name of it before. What was it?
Grocery Alley.
Okay, and there was a gal in there, and I was talking to her about Christmas Eve, you know, and she was the checkout lady, and I said, you know, are you going to go, you know, spend some time? I said, you have to work the whole day? She said, yeah, I got to work till 8 o'clock. I said, well, you're going to go home and, you know, spend some time with your family? She said, no, my parents are dead, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, I'm going to sit in my apartment with my cat. And I said, oh, I feel so bad for you. Merry Christmas, and I gave her a hug, and I said, you know what, God loves you, and I'm sorry that you have to do this. And I could tell that I connected with her. And I said, God, you're doing that. You have given me a love, and I'm not trying to point fingers at myself, but I'm guessing she's going to think, what is with this guy? Why did he care about my life? Because I did. And I felt bad because I love people, and I got that love for other people from God, but it comes with a price, and it does mean sacrificing what is maybe your own priority for your own life, but do it long enough. I'm telling you, it's better. Agape love is, I am going to think about others more than I think about me. I'm going to ask God to give me opportunities to connect with people and love them, and sometimes that means serving them. It does. That's what agape love means. And it is with the purpose and goal of seeing that they get the utmost and not worrying about you. Why am I doing this stuff? Because I want them. I want them. I'm thinking about them. I want them. That's what agape love says, that you're putting the needs of other people before your own. And guess what? It's the coolest thing in the world for you. It is. It is. That's a gift. Not a commandment. I mean, it is a commandment, but it's because you're never going to want to do it on your own, Tim, so I'm going to tell you to do it, but only because I know how much you're going to love it when you do. And there's a great cost to this. There is. There's a great cost to it. And, you know, and again, people used to just tell me, well, you spend way too much time worrying about other people's stuff. You know, you need to, and so sometimes, yeah, some of my stuff would go, and I wasn't taking care of my own things, and people would ask me, why do you do this? Because I love it. It really fills a need in my own soul to love other people and serve them and connect with them. And so part of it is connecting. I got to tell you, you know, just going out, you know, going next door and mowing the lawn of, you know, the elderly lady that can't mow her lawn anymore, whatever. That's a cool thing. But I'm telling you, you can go and knock on the door and open up the door and look that person in the face and connect with them. And they'll know you love them. And sometimes they're just going to say, what in the world? And sometimes they won't. I mean, sometimes they'll just say, they'll question it like, well, you're trying to hone in here and get something out of me, aren't you? Because that's generally how most people, you know, see things. And like, why in the world? I had this conversation, I probably told you, maybe before, this conversation where I was trying to help this guy. And, you know, I know I've told you this. He bought some furniture and he came, picked it up. He had a 7 Series BMW and he was going to literally tie this desk on the top of his car. And I said, hey, look, man, I got a van. Let me deliver it for you. He says, oh, I live clear over in Seattle, you know. I don't care. And he literally looks me in the eye and he says, why are you doing this? And I said, it's because God gave me a love for people. I just want to help you. And he literally did not get it. No way. No way. You know, you want something. I know you do. And I said, okay, here's what I want. You got to let me take you to lunch because I got some stuff I'd like to talk to you about. And he did. And we're great friends. And I share the gospel with him every single time I see him, and he still hasn't accepted it. But he did this. This is a guy who is a top, I mean, science. He's so smart, and he's involved in these projects that are amazing. You know, in his industry, he's like right at the top, super, lot of connections. His best man was an astronaut. I mean, he's involved in the space industry. But he was very kind of a stoic kind of a guy. And he tells me he loves me now. I bet he doesn't say that to anybody. It's kids, maybe. Love your neighbor as yourself. You got to decide, is this a priority in my life? Because, Tim, I am so busy with all these other aspects, you know, and some of it's family, some of it's job, some of it's, you know, your house and all that, that I don't see how I can have time. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And yet here it is, number 2 on the list. And so in order to make this happen, and actually work, you have to give it to God. Because God's, you gotta say, God, I don't know how to do this. This is me, was me. God, I don't have time to do this. I'd like to focus on the needs of other people and love them and connect with them and just experience, you know, let them experience what God's done in my life and see it and see, here's a guy who just loves people. I don't understand why. It just makes no sense. But God, I don't have time for that. My life is very complicated. You think God doesn't know that? You think God doesn't understand that, you know, it's easy for human beings, and especially in our culture, to say, you know, I am so busy. Here's the best I can do. I can come to church. Maybe I go to the potluck. I got to call it good. God, I just, because I'm so busy. And God will just rewind the whole thing. Okay, let's go back. Tim, do you really want... First of all, do you really trust me? Do you really want to experience the things I made available to you that I paid so much to get? You know, do you really want peace in your life? Do you really want joy? Would you really like to have some satisfaction? Would you really want to feel like you're involved in a purpose in the end that's way bigger than you? You got to go back to these two things then. Yeah, but God, I'm so busy and I got this, and you know what? If I don't do this, if I don't take care of this issue over here, Tim, do you really want to have the things I made available to you that I died so that you could have access to, which would be peace and joy and contentment and fulfillment and meaning and purpose? Because that's kind of the purpose of the life, Tim. Yeah, but God, I'm so... This was the process that I went through in the last couple months. Then you got to focus on these two things, Tim. But I'm really busy, God. Give it to me. Give it to me, because I never have you do stuff that I won't create opportunities to do. Never. God is not going to command you to do anything he won't allow you to do. You want me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you want me to love other people with agape love instead of focusing on myself all the time. Okay, I don't see how it's going to happen. You're going to have to do it because I don't see how it's going to work. I don't see how I'm going to be able to take care of my own needs and still do this. Okay. Give me a shot at it. So one of the things, now this, you know, this was not the last couple months. One of the things was, okay, Tim, I'm going to take you out of the career you had, and I'm going to put you in ministry. Guess what? Then people are going to pay you to do all the stuff you love to do. It was an enormous opportunity for me. I can connect with people and call you and come over to your house and sit down and talk with you and have a cup of coffee and just connect with you and tell you I love you, and somebody's paying my bills to do that. Now where's your excuses, Tim? I'm giving you the time. This is now your job. And you love it. Okay, so I don't know if God's calling you into ministry for the purpose of allowing you to have time to love other people sacrificially and still pay your bills. But he has other ways of doing it. Will it happen in 2026 in your life? Only if you make it a priority. Let's pray. Lord, these are life-changing. These are life-changing commands that you give us. Life-changing. And you paid an enormous price to make these available. We're only going to experience the benefits of it when we make it a priority. So, Lord, that's what I'm asking. Renew the minds of the people who hear this message so that they can make these two things the top two priorities in their life, so that they can experience the joy and the peace and the comfort and the security and the meaning and purpose that comes when we make these a priority. And I know it requires faith because it doesn't make sense, Lord. I know it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't make... All the times I'm thinking, God, I want to do this. I want to help people, but I don't know how am I going to meet my other needs. I know it takes faith because it doesn't make sense to sacrifice everything for you and for others. But it's a wonderful place to be, and you know that. So, Lord, I just pray you would work in our hearts and minds to rethink what we feel is most important so that we can experience all that you paid such a high price for us to have access to. I just ask this in your Holy Spirit's name, because your Holy Spirit has to do it. We have to get out of the driver's seat and let you drive the car of our life. So, Lord, I just pray that that's what will happen, whatever it takes. In Jesus' name, amen.